joining us right now at our Patriots Monday studios. Hello, Vince.
Good morning, everyone.
What's up, Vince?
What's going on,
How
fellas?
You doing?
I'm doing good. Can't complain.
You were pretty cranked up at the end of the first half on that fourth and goal stop at the goal line. That's about as animated as I see you out on the football field.
I mean, in a situation like that, to walk away fourth and goal, and we knew they wanted to run the ball point blank. It was clear that's what they wanted to do, and especially with a back like Adrian Peterson, who wouldn't?
You knew he was getting the ball, right?
We knew he was getting the ball. So all year we say we want him, you know, play well in the red area. All right, goal line we want to be good, and short yards we want to be good. So great opportunity for us right there to step up. We had one early, a third and goal, and I still don't think that he scored. But it is what it is. So we had another chance to come back and make a stop, especially on fourth down. And you know what? The guys did a real good job on that play, just basically swarming to the ball, getting to the ball. Like I said, we knew he was going to get it. And just walked away. They didn't come up with any points. We walked in halftime feeling pretty good about that defensive stand. And it's just something we work on, you know. Through training camp, that was a point of emphasis. Even now, I mean, short yardage, red area, always a point of emphasis for us. So we was kind of confident going in and being down there. I don't care how close they were to the goal line. We was pretty confident as a unit to be down there. So we came up with a big stop, and it's always exciting when you put so much time into something and you succeed. And that was the case yesterday.
And 15 years from now, when you're the next Pepper Johnson or the next Anthony Pleasant, you're coaching the defensive line in the National Football League, what are you going to tell your guys? Like, what's the key to a goal line stand, being stout on the goal line? What's the key?
It's who wanted the most. That's all it is.
Simple as that, huh?
It's who wanted the most. Down there, it's grind time. So it's nothing tricky. I mean, they're going to line up. They're going to run their plays, and we line up. We're going to run what we have to run in. It's basically man on man, and you trying to knock your guy back. He trying to knock you back, and you getting that ball carry. So the toughest man win in a situation like that. Who is tougher?
Tough man competition.
That's all
huh?
it is. Who is tougher? And I felt we was tougher than this bunch. It's a lot of times I feel like that going into a game, and because we pride ourselves on being big and physical and strong and playing aggressive, especially when a game plan put together that we know we can attack like that. And that was the case yesterday. We knew we can be more aggressive. We knew the certain calls that we was getting in coming into the game that we was going to be aggressive. So a lot of guys knew how to play the game. And like I say, playing against a back like Adrian Peterson, I mean, heck of a back. I mean, at times that guy was reading the whole front seven where he was going to make his cuts. I mean, it was just – He's pretty elusive out there, and I give my hats off to him, and he do the thing. But at the same time, as a defense, as we settled down, we started playing more like we known how to play. So going forward, we're just going to have to keep doing that, keep getting better each game, play by play and day by day. That's all it's going to take for us to keep being successful around here. So put that one in the bag and move on to Cleveland this week.
You know, as the season has gone on, we've seen young players on your defense step up and make big plays. And some of them have been kind of out of the blue. I mean, Ron Brace with the big stop on fourth and goal.
Yes.
Kyle Arrington. Son, you go out there and you and Randy Moss are going to be out there all by yourself. Now, you chuck him at the line. You do what you have mm-hmm. to do, but don't let him beat us here. Mm-hmm. You've had young guys who have responded when they've been called on to yeah. do that all season long.
Confidence, man. You know what? Confidence. And one thing. Going in every game, it's like it's becoming a natural for us now. It's front seven, we stop the run. We worried about the run, and the back end, you worried about the receivers. And you know what? We've been playing well like that. If the ball break outside, you know, that's when the corners and the safety support come into play. But as long as we can keep everything, you know, funnel inside, you know, we have to do a good job as a front seven. So I don't think that should change, and it won't change, especially with myself and with Gerard Mayo, you know, being some of the older guys out there and understand how important we can help our back end. We don't want to put too much on their plate. You just get us off on the field on third downs. And it's been working well for us. Like I say, you know, when things was, you know, a little little glossy for us with the run game yesterday. We basically say, hey, look, man, we put this on our shoulders as a front seven to do our job, you know. And now we got to continue. We got to do that. We just settled down and let's do that. And like I say, once we settled down, we were okay. And I don't know what it is, but every time we ask for a response, people respond. And everybody, it's not just the young guys. It's guys who coming in for just a couple of plays, like a Sergio Brown or like a Ron Brace, Brandon Dederick, Gerard Warren, Gary Guyton on third downs, and Dane on third downs. You might not play 50 plays, you know. You might not play like that. You might only have 3 to 10 plays, but those plays you're out there, you have to make sure you know what you're doing and you have to make them count. And I think guys are understanding that, and they're understanding their role. So that's going to make us a better defense and more importantly, going to make us a better football team.
See, I know you're not a defensive tackle. You are?
A defensive lineman.
Defensive lineman. We understand this. So since you're a defensive lineman and not a defensive tackle, the Patriots have used you all over the line this year. Was that is different than in the past? I know you've played defensive end in the past, but it's more frequent this year. Was that a conversation? Did you see that coming in June training camp this year? When were you aware that they were going to use you that way?
You know what? I mean, that's Bill. I mean, through camp, through many camps, you know, I've been getting reps everywhere, and me being the person who I am and being one of the leaders out there on the field. I always feel I need to be prepared to play anywhere because with the case of injuries or whatever the case may be, I might need to move out. And some of the matchups we like, I mean, that's what it calls for. So I always try to be prepared. You know, I know the game enough. I know our defense enough where I can be out there on the end or at nose and be successful because of, you know, the preparation that I do, and over the years, just basically learning. So Bill feel confident putting me out there. I feel confident being out there in those situations. And it won't do anything but make us better as a defense. So you know Bill Belichick more than anyone. He don't like a guy just can do one thing. He like guys that can move around and play, you know, different positions. And anytime I can help my teammates in any way I can, you know, I'm all for it. So it may cause me to play old nose. It may cause me to play right or left end. So whatever it may be, you know, I'm willing to do it. And you know what? I learned the best thing I could learn in however long it takes to be successful on Sundays.
Yeah, there was an interesting play in yesterday's game. Devin McCourty made a great play at the goal line, broke up a pass at the goal line, fell on the ball, got the wind knocked out of him. Went to the sidelines for a play. Darius took his place for a play, and then Devin came back in. You know what was so unusual about it? That was the only defensive snap Devin McCourty has missed this year. He has played every other defensive snap except the one play he had to go to the sidelines and get his wind back, and then he was right back in the game. For a rookie cornerback in this league, that's pretty impressive.
Man, he's a student of the game, man. I tell you what, that guy, the way he prepare and the way he practice, I mean, he prepare and practice like he's been in this game for a long time. So sometimes it's hard to see, you know, he's only a rookie. Well, he is, you know. But at the same time, it's like you see him at work, you see him out there at practice doing his thing, and you see him at after practice, film room, all these guys, not just Devin. But, I mean, they take it upon themselves to be the best they can be because they know they have a lot of people counting on him. They hear, trust me, all of us hear how crappy we are or how crappy we's going to be. We all hear that through the grapevine. We all hear that. So I think guys just take it upon themselves, you know, not to let each other down out there. And it's been working, you know, and it's going to continue to work because we're going to keep our head down. We're just going to keep putting one day at a time, one foot in front of the other, and just keep grinding it out because it's a long season. Schedule's going to get harder. It's going to get tougher. Opponents are going to get tougher. And just keep grinding it out, man. And at the end of the day, we want to look back when it's all over and see what we have accomplished. But right now, we don't have time to sit back and see what we have accomplished. 6-1 won't get us anywhere right now. That's not our goal, to be 6-1. Our goal is to be a lot further than that. So, but that's just by coming by taking about one at a time, one game at a time. That's what we have to continue to do.
What was it like seeing 84 out there in purple and white?
It was different, you know, and From a personal standpoint, you know, that's a friend of mine. And you know what? Business is business, but at the end of the day, that is a friend, you know. And at the end of the game, I talked with him and everything, gave him a hug and let him know, hey, man, keep your head up, stay healthy, man, and good luck for the rest of the season. So he's always going to be a part of my life on and off the field just because of so many things that he came and gave this organization, so many things he done in his personal life as a friend with my family and everything. So great guy, man, great guy. But, you know, hey, I'm a Patriot. You know, he a Viking. So it is what it is on that end.
Well, let me ask you this, because I got a hard time with this. I live in Boston. I don't live in St. Paul or Minneapolis, so I really don't care what their writers have to deal with. Just looking at it from afar, he was fined $25,000 for not speaking with the media. You usually speak with the media. What do you think of a $25,000 fine?
Bogus.
For not talking?
I don't agree with that. I mean, that's just my opinion. You could have guys go in the locker room, going to do it like that. And you have guys go in the locker room, just sit at their locker and give one word answer, yes or no. I mean, you're talking to the media. Well, you're going to get fined from that too. So, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, rules are rules. And but $25,000 for not, you know, not trying to make something a big deal. Because we all know coming in this week, we're going to have distraction between Favre and between Moss. And I'm pretty sure going through his mind, I was like, look here, I don't want to have anything to do with a distraction for my teammates or the Patriots. I want to stay far away from possible at, you know, from this interview, because it's not like they're asking you about the game. They're asking about the Patriots or you versus the Patriots. It's not about what we need to do to win. But I'm just speaking for myself. So same thing with me is, you know, at times you have to take a step back because you don't want something to be a distraction. And this was one of those weeks where it could have been easily a distraction for us with the whole Brett Favre and the whole Randy Moss situation. It can always be that because people are not looking for what it's going to take to beat the Minnesota Vikings or the Patriots. They're looking for what you think about Favre. Do you think they're doing the right thing? Or what you think about Moss? Do you miss Moss? It was going to be those types of stories. And as players, we try to stay away from that because, for one, for the organization, and for two, for yourself. You don't want to go and be a distraction to your teammates and to your organization. And that's just one of the things where I, as a player and as a person, I take a step back and be like, look here, this is how I'm going to handle it. I'm not going to be this distraction. I'm not going to give the media what they really want. If they want to sit up here and talk about Adrian Peterson and Percy Harvin and all these guys like that beating us, I'm all fine. I'm fine and dandy for that. But don't come to me talking to me about Favre and what I think about the situation with Favre and a head coach and what I think about Randy Moss leaving the Patriots, because I don't want to deal with that. So as a player, you got to distinguish how you want to act in certain situations. And around here, we try to stay as far away as possible from distractions. And last week was last week was a perfect case. And I think, you know what, I think at the end of the day, I think as a team, we handled it well. And you know what, that's what it's going to take. Sometimes you have to step back and bite the bullet and move on with it and get past it. So we pass it now, and hopefully we'll be on to Cleveland Browns.
Do me a favor. Put those headphones on for a quick second. I just want you to hear something, okay?
What you want me to hear?
And, believe me, it's they're all twisted up there, of course. Nothing bad at all. No, this is not bad at all.
I know what it is.
No, you don't. No, you don't. On Fridays, Peter King's on this program.
Okay.
Peter King from Sports Illustrated and NBC Sports. He's with us every Friday. Last Friday, Peter King was talking about you, and this is what he said.
Vince Wilfork is having a dominating year. Don't want to spoil any surprises, but Vince Wilfork will be on my NFL midseason All-Pro team.
How's that make you feel?
You know what, man? I carry myself the same way every week. You know, I'm always a team first guy, and the one way I could keep the team first is for me to do my job. You know, I never know what position I'm going to play until Wednesday comes. You know, Bill may come to me and say, "Hey, look, this is what you're doing." So you know, for something to be said like that, I really try not to pay attention to that because it's bigger things at stake for me. You know, it's bigger things at stake for my teammates. You know, not just me. It's not all about me, but I just try to do what I think is the best thing for my team. You know, whatever way I can help my teammates, that's what I want to do. And I try to play at a high level because guys will follow leads, you know, especially when you're doing the right thing. Even when you're doing a bad thing, people will follow that. So what example you want to set for everyone else that's out there with you? And I'm always trying to set a positive example. It's playing hard, playing fast, knowing my assignment, knowing situational football, and Bill teaches it all the time. And that's what I do, you know. So I'm going to keep my head down. I wish I wouldn't have heard it now, you know. But.
Yeah, but now wait a minute. Now, if folks wanted to go on NFL.com and vote for you for the Pro Bowl, you wouldn't mind.
I wouldn't mind by that now. not at all. You need to go on that. Yeah. But, you know, I just want people to know that when I play this game, I want to play it at a high level. I always want to know what I'm doing. I want to know what people are doing around me. And that'll make me better and make my teammates better. When stretch play getting ran outside and I can run down the line and get in on a tackle. Or, you know, quarterback taking a five-step drop, I'm in the middle of the pocket, get a pass broke up. You know, people pay attention to that. You know, especially your teammates, they pay attention to that. Or when McCourty make a hell of an interception like he did yesterday, I made it my point to go greet that dude because you know what? In practice, we see it time after time. This dude making plays the way he making them, and he's unbelievable. And I don't want to talk too much about a player, but you know what? He deserves it. I mean, he worked his butt off. He worked his butt off, and he's so humble about it. And he don't let all this get to his head. He don't have the big head and nothing like that. Every week is working, and that's for all of us. We all work. We work together. We have fun together. We just enjoy one another out here on this football field. Sometimes it's not perfect. But at the end of the day, by Friday it comes around, we be well. Well, we know exactly what we want to do and how we want to approach the game. So that's how I approach my games, and that's how I expect my teammates, and they have been approaching it, and we want to continue to do that.
Well, I know Peter King has his analysis. I want to talk about a different type of analysis. I had the privilege of writing a story on Vince and his wife, Bianca. I didn't get this in the story, but I want to tell you this, Dale. Did you know that when Vince is playing football, Bianca sometimes sends text messages during the game that she knows he won't get until after the game.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So she will send texts like, what the hell are you thinking on that one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. How'd you miss that one?
Oh, yeah. She.
So what'd she say? What'd she say yesterday after the fourth down play? What were yesterday's text messages?
Yesterday was a big stop on fourth down, big stop on third and goal, even though they gave it the touchdown. And, man, offense is closing it out for us, man. It was just stuff like that, all positive stuff. And this week wasn't anything negative she had to write to me. So, but she basically told me, you know, how good we was looking at.
Now, this is from a woman who he once gave a football test to.
How did she do on the test?
I mean, but it was insulting. But listen to some of the questions that he asked her. This is an insulting football test. What did you ask her when you first met her?
Hey, I'm not going to talk about it. But put it this way.
How do you know when it's third down?
Yeah. What's the first down?
What's the first
you
down?
Know, stuff like simple stuff. What's a
You're
false
lucky
start?
She didn't slap you around when you gave
she
her pa- test
She
like
passed
that.
The test, though.
No,
she
did well, okay.
She passed the test, and you know what? She's been with me ever since.
Let me bring up one negative, and it's not that I'm sitting here searching for the negative of a team sitting at 6-1. The only negative I've got about the defense right now is third and long plays.
Yeah.
And third and long plays are driving me crazy. It must be driving you guys nuts.
You know what? That's third down, we always want to get out the field, especially when we can get a team in third and long. We should be able to get off the field. You know, it's a difference from third and short and third and medium, but – third and long, you know, starting with, you know, San Diego, that's going into that week, we understood, you know, how great they were on third and long. And this team is the same way. Third and long, they right behind San Diego. So we just have to be more alert as a defense. And the more we can put pressure on the quarterback, the better it helps the end back end out. The more they can cover, the better it helps give us time to get to our pass rush. So it works hand in hand. It's not all the DBs and it's not all the front seven. You know, we got to work together. We got to understand the situation. And yesterday, you know, they ran three screens on us that you know what, it got away from us. And we knew it was coming. And, you know, back second and long, it was a screen team and a get back on track team. But they screened us three times. And then we finally, you know, made the adjustments. And Mike Wright made a hell of a play on the screen play. So it's things like that where you got to come to the sideline and be like, hey, look here, this is what we're going to do if this situation approaches again. And you know what? We did a good job after the third time. We did a real good job of going out there and actually playing the screen, and we was all on top of it. So we just have to keep working with one another, just trusting one another on that feeling. It'll come.
They had a 3rd-and-6 false start. I wanted you to refuse the penalty. Don't put them in 3rd-and-11. Say no.
We push them back. We push them back. We get the yards and everything. But you know what? We're going to keep grinding. We're just going to keep our heads down and day by day, take it one day at a time. And hopefully at the end of all of this, we can look back and say we accomplished something great. If not, oh well, we got to learn from it. But we can only control what we control, and that's now and the Cleveland Browns and moving forward.
Great to talk to you again. Congratulations on the win.
Thank you, guys. Take care.